Thank you, Brother Brandon. Beautiful song, Secret Place. I appreciate Brother Brandon and him working with the kids' choir. And I was telling my wife the other day, I said, so Brody comes home and he says, Brother Brandon said I need to do this when I sing. And to be honest with you, Brody's singing has improved since Brother Brandon started working with him. We're glad it improved. And it's helped all of us in the vehicle because he sings the loudest. And he's just gotten better and better and better. And so I appreciate our kids' choir. I appreciate Miss Jessica and Brother Brandon working with them, and Miss Lida working with the younger ones, and it's a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight. We've been talking about the four views of the cross, the four views of the cross. And last week we looked at the view from the Old Testament, and we looked and saw the importance of the cross from the Old Testament view. And I almost forgot one, and the book of John tells us this, is that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must Christ be lifted up. And it was always a picture in the Old Testament of Christ coming to a cross. And the importance of the cross is this. I wrote this down today. If you want to kind of think about this, is talking about the importance of the cross, is that you can't just forgive the sinner. You must also change the sinner. Let me say that again. You can't just forgive the sinner. You also have to change the sinner. When Christ saved us, He didn't just forgive us. And the power of the cross, in which we're going to look at tonight, is the power to change us. That's amazing to me. By the way, you could go into our judicial system today and our penal system today and go in there and say, look, we forgive all you inmates and turn them loose. And guess what? They're still the same heathens they were. But there has to be a change. There has to be a change. If you can go into the prison system, I've been in the prison system many times on my own accord. And one of the scariest things, I think I was 20 years, 19 years old, 18, 19. And the first time I went in the prison, And they said the scariest thing is when you hear that door slam behind you. But what they didn't tell me is that there's like five doors that slam behind you. So I was not scared just once, twice. And then I'm out there. They put us on the recreation place out there with about 150 guys. Every one of them, their leg was bigger than me altogether. And I was scared to death. And I realized is that what they need is not forgiveness. They need forgiveness and changing. And that is what the cross does. The cross is not just so we can have forgiveness. And not just so we can say, well, my sins are gone. But the cross is the power for us to change our life. It gives us the ability to change it. Christ changes our life. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So as we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And we know that if you've studied the book of Corinthians, it is the book of corrections. Paul is spending his time correcting them. Matter of fact, if you read chapter 1, the first part, he says, look, you guys are all, you divided yourself because here's what was happening is that someone was saying, well, I was saved from Paul. Paul saved me. And then the other one said, well, he won me to the Lord. He won me to the Lord. And Paul says, wait a minute, is Christ divided? Is Christ that saves and not me? By the way, I dealt with Tim Vines down at the altar. There's a bug. Make sure it ain't laying on me. And I didn't win him to the Lord. Christ did the winning. Amen. I just showed him what the Bible said, and he said yes to it, and we agreed, amen, on what was happening that day. And I'm telling you what, that Jesus does the saving. And so Paul is kind of refuting this, and he goes down and he talks about what is the message that I brought you, and it is the message of the cross. Notice, if you will, pick up the story in verse 17. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. They were arguing over who baptized him. They said, well, Paul baptized me, and then Stephanus, he baptized, or whatever it may be. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit, what that means. But notice verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. I believe Romans tells us that, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It's the power, and that's what we're looking at tonight. Notice, he goes on down, verse 19, says, "For it is written, I will not destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing." Let me read that again. "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" By the way, when people look at the cross, and we're going to talk about that tonight, when people look at the cross, they don't understand it with the eyes of flesh, like we understand it with the eyes of the Spirit. Notice what he says, verse 21. It says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching." Thank God that's what it looks like I'm doing tonight. It's a bunch of foolishness. And sometimes I think that too. "Preaching to save them that believe." 22 says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ," what? "Crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." By the way, you ever heard of Greek philosophy? They go, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. They go by their brains. They go by their intelligence. They go by how much they know. And the Jews were always seeking a sign. But verse 23, Paul says, "But wait a minute. We preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ," notice the word again, "the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So after we pray tonight, we'll look at the view from the loss, the view of the cross from the loss. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. And Lord, you know tonight that I have nothing to say of my own self. And Lord, you know that I've studied, I've prayed, and I've sought your will. But God, unless you do a work tonight, this message will fall flat. But God, I just pray that as you said, your word would not return unto us void. And so, Father, we pray that it would set out to do that which it should do and accomplish. And God, you'd get all the glory and all the praise. And God, thank you for each and every one here tonight. I pray that you give us a good view of the cross tonight. And God, keep it ever before us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look, he says in verse 18 again, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." But notice this, "But unto us, who is that? Which are saved, it is the power of God." I know you've heard this before, but if you look at the Greek word power, it means dunamis, or as we get our word, dynamite. Amen. I like dynamite. And I like what it does. You know what dynamite does? It changes things. People don't get dynamite just to put in their flower garden. They put it in their flower garden to blow up their flower garden. Amen. By the way, that's what the power of God's for. The power of God's just not to sit around and be a flower in your garden. It is to change lives. The power of God changes things. I wrote these down. What dynamite is used for? Well, it's used for removing unwanted material. You ever watched them blow up a building that has been condemned? Amen. It's fun. You know, clear. Get everybody out of here. Boom, 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 boom. They start blowing it up. Boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden you look where a building once stood. It's gone. It's gone, and then we see that they remove dirt and rocks. It removes the earth. It is for re-landscaping the land. By the way, that's what God's power will do in your life. It'll re-landscape you, and it'll remove some things that have been condemned in your life. That'll preach. I didn't even make that up. You know what else dynamite's for? It has a main ingredient called nitroglycerin. Everybody knows what nitroglycerin's for, right? My stepdad has had three or four major heart attacks. Matter of fact, he's died on the operating table before, been shot back to life. But anywhere my stepfather goes, he has that little bottle of nitroglycerin tablets. And nitroglycerin tablets are a vasodilator, what they call it. It helps dilate your vessels so the blood can get to your heart better. You take that little nitroglycerin tablet, you put it underneath your tongue, and or they make it in a paste, you put it on somebody's chest, and boy, all of a sudden, it dilates those vessels, and the vessels go, "Hello, we're alive again." And the blood, it says, "Bring the blood on to the heart." Isn't it amazing how God made our body? And as it opens up those vessels, it allows the precious blood of our life to go back where it needs to go to sustain our life. By the way, that's what the power of God does. And the key ingredient in dynamite is nitroglycerin. It changes your heart. That's what the power of God will do in your life. It'll change who you are. It'll change your very fiber and fabric of who you are. Amen. Then I wrote the last thing down. I stole this one. Dynamite's key use is used for mining precious jewels. Whenever they want to find a diamond, whenever they want to find gold, whenever they want to get all these precious minerals out of our earth, guess how they do it? Especially if you live in Texas. You drill a hole. You drill another hole. And you drop that dynamite down in there and you blow it up. And guess what? It reveals the precious stones that were underneath the earth. Ooh, glory. Anybody else getting this message yet? I ain't even got to the message. This is just the introduction. I'm so happy right now. I've been a little under the weather, so I'm trying to calm myself down because I don't want to waste all my energy on the first part of the message. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that's the way God's power works in my life. God goes in there and He chips away the old stuff that I don't need and reveals what a precious stone that He is in my life. And He lets His light shine through my life. Why? Because of the power, because of the dynamite of God. Woo, glory. That was pretty good. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. The cross is precious to us. The cross of Christ is precious to us. By the way, dynamite is not really any danger unless you put a fuse in it. It has to have a fuse. It has to have a detonator. Do you know what detonates dynamite? That little fuse on the end, you light it. Amen. You ever watch, some of y'all watch the old Western movies? Those were always timed just perfect. You ever lit a firecracker? They never work the way they do in the movie. It's like, right in your hand, like, that ain't the way John Wayne did it. Amen. But I want to tell you that God's power, God's dunamis, God's dynamite, God's power has a detonator too. It's called faith. Unless you use faith, God's power. Notice back at verse 17, it says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? Of none effect. How do you make dynamite none effect? You take the fuse out of it. It's non-effective. Right? And God's power to us is only effective if we put faith with it and we trust that it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, to also the Greek. We understand that the power of God is a precious thing, but listen to me. The way that the power of God works in mind of your life, you got to stick the detonator in it. That's called faith. But as we turn our view, we see that there is another view here. It's precious to us. Isn't the cross precious? It's powerful. Boy, it's something to our life. But let me ask you tonight, do you realize how the lost world looks at the cross? They look at it totally different than me and you do. Notice what he says again in verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness. You see, the world doesn't look at the cross as a place of propitiation, as a place of reconciliation, as a place of redemption and justification and atonement. They see it as foolishness. They see it as, why are all these people so crazy in this world? You know why people don't understand why you get up on Sunday morning, go to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, why you come on Tuesday night, why you come on Saturday, why you come on Thursday night, Brother Sanders, why all this is happening? Hey, the world thinks we're crazy, we're nuts. They don't understand it. Why? Because they don't look at the cross the way me and you look at it. And we got to remind ourselves that when lost people come to our church, they're not going to look like us. They're not going to talk like us. They're going to be different. Why? Because they come from a different view, vantage point than we do. They see things differently. Something I had to learn as a young pastor, pastoring in Alabama. And I took that first pastor. I thought everybody was supposed to be saved, born again, washed the blood of the Lamb, know how to dress, talk, walk, and everything else. I thought everybody was supposed to know that. You're in Alabama, the Bible Belt. Amen. You draw words out a little bit here, a little there, and you join words together here, and everybody's all right. And you eat crawfish. for Fifth Sundays. We love Fifth Sundays. We had the old concrete tables out back. We didn't have the plastic tables. We had the concrete tables out back. A lot of y'all remember those. A lot of y'all, see, I'm talking, a lot of you remember those days. And we'd take the newspaper and put it out on that concrete table. Take those 25 pounds of crawfish and pour them out on that table, and we'd all just get out. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Those were the good days. But I'm going to tell you what, we had some folks come in, and I'm thinking, boy, these folks are different. Why? Because they were lost. They didn't see the cross like I did. They didn't see the cross like those folks that have been sitting in the pew, saved for 30, 40, 60 years, some of them. Listen to me tonight, is that they see it as foolishness. As foolishness. The message Paul was preaching, the reason Paul was stoned, the reason Paul was put in the prison was not because Paul was such an eloquent speaker. He told them, the Corinthians, he said, I don't come with you with the wisdom of man. He said, but I come preaching Christ crucified and risen and coming again. And guess what? People don't like that. I did see in Houston that the mayor said, we don't want your sermons anymore. Is it that great? Woohoo! It was just a trial walk through anyway. They'll be back. They'll be back. Well, if they want my sermons, bless their heart, they'd have to have an interpreter. If I handed that to them, they'd be like, okay, Mr. Wiggins, you're good to go. Amen. And a lot of times my sermons are on stickets. I can't even find them. Hallelujah. If you look at my Bible, I have sermons in here. They're on stickets. That's all I got. That's all God gave me. If He gave me more, I wrote it down. I pray for people that ever had to summons my sermons. They'd be like, Mr. Wiggins, you're good to go. Amen. But I'm telling you what, folks, is that the world doesn't see the cross through the eyes that we see it. Because they're looking, and they're looking for something that is majestic. They're looking for something that is tangible. And guess what, my friends? The cross is not that to a lost person. It's condemning to a lost person. And so as we look at these scriptures tonight, we'll look and see that Paul was preaching a message in which was not received well among the Jews. You know why it was not received well among the Jews? Because the Jews seek a sign. That's what the scripture just said. You know what they were looking for? They were looking for a Messiah to come as a conquering king. And when Jesus came in the lowly state, in the servant state that He did, and as if they would have known Psalm 22, if they would have looked back and read Isaiah 53, they would have understood that He was not going to come as some conquering king the first time. He was not going to come as some boisterous person that would walk down the street and men and ladies would bow at His feet. That was not how Jesus came. He came as a sheep before His shears. He came and He kept His mouth shut. Why? Because He knew He had to die on the cross for me and you. And when He died on the cross, they said, that cannot be our Messiah because He's coming to set up a kingdom. They missed it. They missed the view of the cross. As we look at this view, even the crowd, remember when Judas came and he kissed the cheek of Jesus, betraying Him. Can you imagine that day? Jesus knew that Judas was going to deceive Him. And yet He allowed him close enough access to His body to kiss Him on the cheek. I don't know about you, but when my wife and me are having a little taff, which we only have like every 70 years, Mama don't want me to get close and kiss her on the cheek. Amen? You know, no. You better back up, Jack, right? I mean, something of that effect. I don't know what your wife does, but you know, I know when Mama gives me that look, right? No kissing. You better back up. You better, you know what I'm saying? But can you imagine Jesus Christ knew the very thought of Judas, knew the very intent of Judas, and yet He allowed Him close enough to kiss Him on the cheek. And whenever He did that, the world came against our Savior. And by the way, He was, being a Jew, He was not supposed to be hung on a cross. That was illegal in that day. He was not supposed, and matter of fact, when He came before the courts, they found Him not guilty, not guilty. They sent Him to Herod. Herod sent Him back to Pilate and said, well, we got to do something. So Pilate says, if y'all just choose between somebody and let Jesus go. They say, well, let's release Barabbas. The murderer, the thief. That didn't work out too good. But you know what? Jesus didn't open his mouth, did he? The crowd kept crying what? Crucify, crucify. Why? Because they didn't see the Savior. They didn't see the Messiah was there. All they saw was a man who was pretending to be something that he wasn't. And so as he was on the cross that day, and as the Roman soldiers looked up at him, and they're casting lots for his garments, and his beard has been plucked off, the crown of thorns on his head, and he's bleeding that day. Listen to me. When they looked up at Jesus, they didn't see who he truly was. The only person that knew that day was his mom and a few others in the crowd. As John looked up, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Behold, a woman." He said, "Take care of her." By the way, when Jesus looked out at the crowd, we'll go over this next week. Jesus didn't see the situation like we see it either. And we'll talk about that next week, but I'm going to tell you what, when the crowd looked at Jesus, they didn't see him dying on the cross for their sins. So tonight I want to ask ourselves, how do the lost see the cross? Three things tonight. Number one, they view it through ignorance. They view the cross through ignorance. If you'll look over, if you will, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and verse 14, I want you to notice what the Bible says about the lost man. Notice what it says in verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." They're spiritually discerned. When the lost looks at the cross, they look at it as foolishness. They look at it through their ignorance. Why? Because they do not understand why Jesus died on the cross. A lot of people may have a head knowledge of it, but I'm telling you, they're ignorant of it. They're ignorant of how Jesus died. Why? Jesus died on the cross for us. Because why? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. By the way, you got to remember, you got the Spirit of God living inside of you, telling you what's right, what's wrong. Amen? He's keeping the right temperature in your life. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we can lose sight of the cross and what it truly means in our life. And so if we can lose sight of a Savior dying on a cross for us, hey, listen, when you sin in your life, when you willfully sin in your life and you live in sin, I'm telling you, buddy, you forgot about the cross. If you keep the cross close to you, near the cross, I'll watch and wait. Hey, that's what Jesus wants to do. Why? Because when you're close to the cross, you see Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. And when you look at your life, you don't want to sin. Why? Because you see what Jesus did for you. I've heard these stories time and time again, how people have donated organs to somebody, and they've lived, you know, and become great friends. You know, and they always say, "Well, every time I feel my heartbeat, I think of this lady's son." You know what? Every time I think about my life, I think about what Jesus did for me and gave me a new life. But when the world looks at the cross, they look at it through ignorance. It's foolishness unto them. It's foolishness. Now look at, if you will, the second thing. They view the cross through intelligence. Ooh, isn't that true? You know what Jesus said in these verses? I'm not going to read them again. But he says that he come to confound the wise. Right? That's basically what he says. He says that the preaching of the cross is a stumbling block. It's foolishness to them. Why? Because God's wiser than anybody, right? The wisdom of God is greater than any wisdom of man. But I'm going to tell you what, when people think of the cross, they try to think with it up here. By the way, there's a lot of people that have head knowledge of God. There's a lot of people that have a head knowledge of the Word of God. But they've never received it in their heart. They've never stuck the detonator into the power of God, right? You've got to have the detonator. They view it through intelligence, through the intelligence of their mind. Why is that? Because 2 Corinthians tells us, chapter 4, it says, "And he, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." He's covered their eyes. They don't see the cross the way we do. Why? Because they have to intelligently think about it. Does it make sense? You ever met people like that? "Nothing makes sense to me. I just do it." Right? You know, I got to pick on Brother Latta. Because that's what I do. Brother Lyle's a very smart man. He's very intelligent. He really is. He's really good at math. I'm horrible. And it's so funny because when we go to build something or do something, he has to type it all out, and he'll put a formula down there. This is what we can do. This is the size and this is the... And it drives me crazy. It drives me fruity. And the reason it does is because I just like to do it. You know, I'll mess it up the first time, but I'll build it twice while he's still working on the math. Amen. Now, I've learned what to do is let him get a head start on me, do the math, and then I'll just come in and help him. See, I got a little smart. Amen. Let him do the hard work, and I'll come in and do the easy stuff. But I'm telling you, a lot of people, they are intellectual. And they don't allow God to direct their life. And the lost man, you got to remember that he doesn't have the Spirit of God in his life. He's trying to use his brain. People have tried to figure out God. That's why we have carbon dating. That's why we have evolutionism. That's why we have all of these things in our world today, because man has tried to intellectually try to think who God is and figure him out, but they can't. By the way, me and you can't either. By the way, the book of Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. Without what? The detonator. You can't please God without it. And so as the lost man looks at the cross, he looks at it in ignorance. He looks at it in intelligence. He tries to figure it out. He tries to do the math. One lost person plus one saved. You know, I mean, it's just not going to work out, my friend. You got to believe the cross by faith. By the way, none of us was there on crucifixion day, right? If you was there, you're really old. And you... Never mind. I said you're very old, okay? Now, if you're here and you was at the crucifixion, something's wrong. None of us was there. So let me ask you this. How do you know the cross is real? You've never seen it. I didn't see a video on it. Charlton Heston didn't make that one. He only made the Moses one. Ten Commandments. So how do you know that the cross is real? By faith. I believe the cross really happened. I believe Jesus Christ really died on the cross. See, I don't look at it with this. I don't try to figure it out with my brain. I know it in my heart. And I know it why? Because I believe the Word of God. The Word of God is true. And He says that Christ went to a hill called Golgotha and He died. And listen to me. Whenever He died on the cross for what? For me and for you and for the sins of the world. I believe it. But also the last thing tonight is that they view it in innocence. You know what the problem with the world is? Everybody's all right. Ain't that true? You ever deal with people? Hey, listen to me. There's not people that are coming before church anymore and repenting of their sins and crying out to God to forgive them like they used to. You know why? Because we've accepted everything. Everything's a sickness nowadays. I've seen a church sign the other day that says, you need help with your hurts, your whatever, and it says hang-ups. I'm thinking, why don't we just say, you need help with sin? Come in. Amen? And we can help you with that. We try to give everything a title nowadays. It's a disease. Oh, it's not your fault. Yes, it's your fault. Amen? I just want to tell people, yeah, it's your fault. Well, I didn't. It really wasn't my fault. I was just in a bad place, and I was with the wrong crowd. It was your fault. I'm sorry to tell you, but if somebody gets kidnapped because they're out at 2 o'clock in the morning at a bar, it's their fault. If you're at home, amen, yeah, don't get quiet on me now, you know it's the truth. If you're at home or you're at church, hey, listen to me. Amen, people get beat up all the time. They're like, oh, I got beat up. Well, you know what, you shouldn't have been at the bar. Hallelujah. Well, it wasn't my fault. The other guy's smart enough to me. You should have been at home with your family. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Their view is in innocence. What does that mean? They have no need for forgiveness. Right? Listen to me. If they look at the cross in innocence, they see foolishness. Why? Because I don't need that. I'm better than my neighbor. Right? Hallelujah. I'm better than my coworker is. I'm better than the church member that lives next to me. Hello. That's what a lot of people think. Because there's a lot of church members that don't live right either. I know that surprised some of y'all. But I'm telling you, that's the way people look at the world today. Is that I don't need the cross because I'm okay. You know what's wrong with men today? You know why men are the number one leaders in heart attacks today? It's because of women. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Did that come out? I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry to all you women, okay? That just kind of rolled off. It wasn't my fault. Right? Now, the number one reason that men are leaders in heart attacks is because of this. And you look at the study, it's been the same for the last 15 years. It's because men are stubborn. I should have got a lot more amens right there. Some of you ladies are scared, right? But I'm telling you, here's the problem. I never will forget. I just started working for EMS. Went to a guy's house. He was clammy, sweating, and diaphragm, all these things. His heart blood pressure was low and all these things. Hooked him up to a cardiac monitor. I was like, not doing so good. He's like, oh, I'm fine. I know you can't read this EKG, but I'm telling you, these little squiggly marks right here are not looking so good. Your blood pressure's bad. You know what he told us? My wife called and I'm not going to the hospital. I told the wife, I said, we'll be outside. Whenever he passes out, we'll come back in. Guess what? He passed out. His blood pressure dropped so low that he passed out. Once they do that, we have the right to get him. We loaded him on the gurney, strapped him in, phew, to the hospital we went. That is our problem. We don't. The reason that men are the leaders in heart attacks is because I'm fine. My wife can attest to this. I've heard this week, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go here. I don't want to go to the doctor. If I don't know, what I don't know will kill me. That's okay. I'm saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm okay. Hallelujah. I got life insurance. My wife will be happy. Hallelujah. No, I'm telling you. But here's the problem is that we all think, oh, I'm okay. Hey, that's why a lot of people don't plan to get out of church, but they do because they think, oh, I'm okay. Oh, I still can hang out with this crowd. I still can go here and still do this. But let me tell you, my friends, is that it will catch up with you. And as the world sees the cross, they see it in innocence. They don't see themselves a sinner. They don't see themselves in need of a Savior. Let me tell you, we're all in need of a Savior. What is the importance of this message tonight? You can write this down and look at it later, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24 tells us the importance of this preaching tonight of the cross. Because Jesus said this, as the world hated me, so they'll hate you. And as we look at the world today, the world is coming against Christianity. The world is coming against the Bible. You put up a Ten Commandment, you put up a flagpole nowadays, and it's like, oh, you can't have that. Can't have a flag in my yard. That's offensive to people. Well, it ought to be. Everybody that is against America ought to be offended. But unto me, it's the power. Amen. And listen to me. Here's what's happening in America that as the world is coming against us, and here's what's happening to the Christian. We don't understand why it's happening. Well, let me tell you why it's happening. Because they don't see Christ the same way, man, you see Him. The reason they pick on us and mock at us is because they did that to Jesus. And Jesus said, as they mock me and as they made fun of me, so they're going to do to you. As we look at this world today, it's not for the Bible, it's not for Christianity. Why is that? Because the view of the cross is so far in the distance nowadays. By the way, preachers aren't preaching on the cross anymore. Right? I mean, you don't hear messages on the cross like you used to. Well, we don't like to talk about the blood. Did I say that out loud? We don't sing about the blood. Hey, listen to me. There's a lot of churches that took the blood out of their hymn books because it offended people. Hallelujah. I like people to be offended. People don't mind offending me. Right? I go to the doctor. He calls me fat. Why can't I sue him? Right? He said, Mr. Wiggins, you need to lose some weight. I'm like, you need to get outside. I mean, I don't do that. I agree with him. Why? Because I realize where I'm at. But listen to me. Here's what's happening is that we're preaching the Word of God and the world is going, hey, we don't need that. Why? Because they're living in innocence. They're not in need of anything, as the Bible says. They're living in ignorance. They're living in their own intelligence. They're trying to figure it out on paper, and you can't figure God out on paper. It won't work out, my friends. You got to trust Him by faith. And let me remind you, people may make fun of you for reading your Bible at work. People may make fun of you because you wear a t-shirt with scripture on it. People may mock you and people may push you away from the crowd. Hey, listen, count that as a good thing. Count that as honor for holding the flag of Jesus Christ high. For you bearing your cross, as the Bible said. He said, take up your cross daily and walk with me and follow me. Why is that? Because that cross is going to bring reproach. By the way, the Scripture talks about that. The reproach that was brought upon, that the cross brought, is the same reproach we're going to have to bear. The sufferings of Christ, we're going to bear those too. As a matter of fact, it's going to get worse as time gets closer for His coming. Can I just tell you, just stay faithful. Just cling to the old rugged cross, and someday you'll exchange the old cross for a crown. Woo, waiting on that day. Listen to me tonight. Don't ever let the view of the cross out of your sight. Be reminded what Jesus did for you, but also be reminded the lost world's not like us because they don't look at the cross like we do. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Have a verse of invitation tonight if you'll stand. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. Hymn 351. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for loving us and dying on the cross for us and taking away the ordinances which were against us and contrary to us and nailing it to the cross. Lord, we love You and thank You for letting us see that the power, the cross has the power to not only forgive us but to change our lives. Lord, we understand the world looks at the cross and all they see is foolishness and a stumbling block that they'll stumble at. But God, I just pray that You'd open their eyes to the glorious gospel of Your word. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight to realize that, Lord, the cross is precious, it's powerful. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 3.